Chapter 1, The Unconditional Covenant. For many years and from much of conservative Reformed Christianity, the Protestant Reformed churches have heard that the issue whether God's covenant with the church is conditional or unconditional is of no fundamental importance. The issue is not fundamental for the truth of the covenant itself. It is not fundamental to the confessional Reformed faith. It is certainly not fundamental to the gospel of salvation by grace alone. The Reformed and Presbyterian churches criticize the Protestant Reformed churches for declaring the unconditionality of the covenant a confessional matter. The Protestant Reformed churches did this in 1951 by adopting a document known as the Declaration of Principles. For making this declaration, the Protestant Reformed churches are charged with the fault of, quote, extra-confessional binding, end quote. There is something odd about the posture of the Reformed churches regarding the conditionality or unconditionality of the covenant. At the same time that many Reformed churches insist that the issue of the conditionality or unconditionality of the covenant is of no fundamental importance, they themselves put up the most vigorous defense of the doctrine of a conditional covenant. They accuse the doctrine of an unconditional covenant of gravest weaknesses bordering on heresy. Nevertheless, the position of the Reformed churches has been that there is room for both views. Nothing serious is at stake in the difference. At present, this position is used to put pressure on the Protestant Reformed churches in ecumenical contexts. Among some of the reputedly more conservative Reformed and Presbyterian churches, there is a strong urge to unite. The Protestant Reformed churches come up for consideration. And when it becomes evident that the Protestant Reformed churches are committed to the truth of the unconditional covenant of grace as a doctrine required by the creeds, the other churches lament that the Protestant Reformed churches raise illegitimate obstacles to the unity of the church. The churches profess sadness, not because the doctrine of an unconditional covenant is wrong, but because the issue, unconditional or conditional, is not fundamental. Alarming development of covenant doctrine. At the present time, there is a development of covenant doctrine that gives the lie to the notion that the issue of conditional or unconditional covenant is not fundamental. Reformed theologians are working out the implications of the doctrine of a conditional covenant. This development of the doctrine of a conditional covenant is widespread in conservative, Reformed, and Presbyterian churches. Such is the development of the doctrine of a conditional covenant in our day that it overthrows the entire theological system of salvation by sovereign grace as confessed by the Reformed faith in the canons of Dort and in the Westminster Standards. The doctrine of a conditional covenant is explained by its advocates as denying the heart of the gospel of grace, namely justification by faith alone on the basis only of the lifelong obedience and atoning death of Jesus Christ. These are perilous times for Reformed saints. These are demanding but also exciting times for those who love the Reformed faith. Today, the old Arminianism is developing into a denial that God knows beforehand what people will decide. God is not permitted to know beforehand what humans will decide because this foreknowledge would impinge on men's freedom. An ignorant God must react to men's decision as best he can, rolling with the punches and scrambling to salvage from human history what he can. God does not know the future, much less decide it. Men decide the future. This is the, quote, openness of God, end quote, movement. The, quote, openness of God, end quote, movement simply carries out to its logical conclusion the basic Arminian teaching that God is dependent on the will of the sinner in the matter of salvation. This development of the old Arminianism exposes Arminian theology for what it is, the proclamation of a God dependent upon man, another God than the God of the Bible and of the Christian religion. In light of this development, the Protestant Reformed churches and other true Reformed churches must renew their resolve faithfully to proclaim the sovereign God of the Reformed faith. Our God knows the future because He ordained it. In the crucial matter of salvation, the wills of sinner are dependent upon the predestinating will of God. The times are demanding particularly for the Protestant Reformed churches, also on account of the ongoing development of the doctrine of a conditional covenant. This development exposes the grievous error that is inherent in that covenant doctrine. The response of the Protestant Reformed churches must be an even more zealous confession, defense, explanation, and development of the truth of the unconditional covenant of grace. Unconditionality. The significant contemporary development of covenant doctrine to which I refer concerns the issue whether the covenant of God with His people in Jesus Christ is unconditional or conditional. The new teaching that troubles the Reformed churches and threatens to carry them away is the natural, indeed inevitable, development of the doctrine that the covenant is conditional. It is necessary, therefore, that we have the issue of the conditionality or unconditionality of the covenant clearly in mind. In considering the controversy, we must remember that the covenant of God with His people is central to the revelation of God in Scripture and to the redemption that is at the heart of biblical revelation. No one in the debate questions the importance of the covenant. That the covenant is unconditional means that the establishing, maintaining, and perfecting of that blessed relationship of love and communion between God and a man do not depend on the sinful man. That the blessings which the covenant brings to the man do not depend upon him. And that the final everlasting salvation enjoyed by one with whom God makes His covenant does not depend upon that man. There is no work of the sinner that is a condition he must fulfill in order to have the covenant or to enjoy its blessings. Unconditionality rules out merit or earning. It also rules out all effort by the sinner, even though not meritorious, upon which the covenant and its blessings are supposed to depend, or which cooperates with God in establishing and maintaining the covenant and in bestowing the benefits of the covenant. Unconditionality certainly rules out merit. We do not earn and thus deserve the covenant. But unconditionality also rules out all works that distinguish one man from another, or that are the reason why the covenant is given to one and not to another, or that obtain the covenant, which God merely makes available to one. The reason why all such works are excluded, along with meritorious works, is that these works, as much as meritorious works, would make the sinner his own Savior and rob God of the glory of salvation. What difference is there between a rich man's paying someone a large sum of money for the work he did and a rich man's giving someone money because that person somehow pleased and benefited the rich man? In both cases, the reason for the gift of money is the one to whom the money is given. Similarly, what difference is there between God's making His covenant with me because I worked to earn it, and God's making His covenant with me because there is something in me that appealed to Him, or because I did something that distinguished me from others? Neither do we earn the covenant, nor do we get it or its blessings because of anything we are or do, even though what we are or do does not earn the covenant or the blessings of the covenant. According to Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 and following, the making of the new covenant with us is like a man's willing his estate to someone as an inheritance. Reception depends only on the testator, only on the covenant-making God. And the divine testator appoints the covenant, its blessings, and salvation to a person according to his own good pleasure, not because of anything in the one to whom the will is made out. Faith as a gift. The teaching that the covenant is unconditional does not overlook or minimize faith. The doctrine of the unconditional covenant recognizes full well that faith is necessary for the covenant and its enjoyment. But the doctrine of the unconditional covenant views faith as the means by which God establishes His covenant with the elect sinner, and the means by which the elect sinner enjoys the covenant and its blessings, not as a condition. And the doctrine of the unconditional covenant confesses that faith is a gift of God to the sinner, like the covenant itself. By His death on the cross, Christ not only confirmed the new covenant with His elect people, but also purchased faith for them. His Holy Spirit then confers faith upon all the elect. Quote, it was the will of God that Christ, by the blood of the cross, whereby He confirmed the new covenant, should effectually redeem out of every people, tribe, nation, and language, all those and those only who were from eternity chosen to salvation and given to Him by the Father, that He should confer upon them faith, which, together with all the other saving gifts of the Holy Spirit, He purchased for them by His death. End quote. Canons of Dort, Head 2, Article 8. Good works as fruits of the covenant. Likewise, the doctrine of the unconditional covenant teaches that good works are necessary in the covenant. But they are fruits of the covenant in the life of the friend and servant of God, not conditions unto the establishing or maintaining of the covenant. The power in the child of God to produce good works is not any natural goodness of his own, but the sanctifying Spirit of Jesus Christ. The motive of the child of God in performing good works is not to earn or to obtain a salvation that he does not have, nor to keep a salvation he might lose. But his motive is thankfulness to God for a salvation graciously given. Quote, therefore we do good works, but not to merit by them, for what can we merit? Nay, we are beholden to God for the good works we do, and not He to us, since it is He that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Let us therefore attend to what is written. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Moreover, though we do good works, we do not found our salvation upon them. For we do no work but what is polluted by our flesh and also punishable. End quote, Belgic Confession, Article 24. Genuinely good works are not done, quote, out of self-love or fear of damnation, end quote, but, quote, out of love to God, end quote, Belgic Confession, Article 24. A gracious covenant. Unconditional is negative. The positive truth about the covenant, confessed by means of the word unconditional, is that the covenant is gracious. An unconditional covenant is a gracious covenant. This is how the Reformed confessions describe the covenant. The Canons of Dort, Head 2, Rejection of Errors 2, calls the covenant, quote, the new covenant of grace, end quote. The Reformed form for the administration of the Lord's Supper speaks of our firmly believing that we, quote, belong to this covenant of grace, end quote. The form continues, quote, Christ confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, end quote. The covenant is a covenant of grace, or a gracious covenant. Inasmuch as God gives the blessings of the covenant to His covenant friends out of His own free favor, and only out of free favor. Also, God establishes and maintains the covenant with a man by His own saving power, the Holy Spirit, and only by His saving power. The covenant is not and cannot be a covenant of grace if, although it freely bestows the blessings of salvation, the establishment or maintenance of the covenant with a man is due to the man's own worthiness or is partially the man's own accomplishment. The doctrine of the unconditional gracious covenant defends the biblical gospel of unconditional gracious salvation, which salvation has its source in unconditional gracious election. No one can deny or does deny that the covenant aims at the salvation, the spiritual, everlasting salvation of men and women, and that its blessings are the forgiveness of sins, holiness, and eternal life. As salvation is gracious, so is the covenant gracious. With specific reference to salvation, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 teaches, quote, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast. With specific reference to the promise of the covenant, and therefore to the covenant itself, Romans 4, verses 13 through 16 teaches that the promise is not through the law, that is, the works of men, but, quote, of faith, that it might be by grace, end quote. Opposed to this doctrine of the unconditional covenant is the teaching that the covenant of God is conditional. This teaching now prevails in Reformed churches. It is the teaching that Reformed theologians are currently developing so as to repudiate justification by faith alone, and thus the gospel of grace.